1 Kings 17. The message today is the God of life and power. There is extensive reading to be done, so set your minds to listen and pay attention to what the scriptures themselves say. Verse 17. I suppose that you remember that Elijah was first sent by the brook Kirith, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and then he was sent to a widow in Zarephath, and she was to feed him. And so he's been there a long time. And in verse 17 it says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Thou art come unto me to bring my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into the chamber where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth in truth. 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, is it thou, thou troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed the false gods, the Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the Asherah 400 that eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near unto all the people and said, how long go ye limping between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Now he's going to arrange a contest. The prophets of Baal take a bullock, and he takes a bullock, and they are to offer these bullocks to their gods. And it says in verse 24, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under. And so they take their bullock and they dress it and put it on the altar, and they cry from morning till noon, and from noon until about 3 in the afternoon, the offering of the evening sacrifice. And look at verse 29. It says, but there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was thrown down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of God came, saying, Israel shall be my name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, and then he douses the sacrifice and the wood, all that he's going to cry to God about. He saturates it with water, and then he says this, verse 35, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening oblation, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you, Lord, are God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt offering, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a cloud out of the sea, as small as a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, Make ready thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in a little while that the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we marvel at the things that we have read this morning. Indeed, thou art the God of life and of power, and we have read from your scriptures where these truths are illustrated. We desire to have this impressed upon us. You have told us concerning your Son, the same yesterday and today and forever, and what you were in the past, you still are today, however thou dost manifest thyself today. And so teach us from these scriptures. Prepare the hearts of those who are listening, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just, to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, as you had promised. And glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. How many times have I prayed for families that have shown me kindness? They have kept me in their homes, At one time, a family would keep me 1 or 2 months at a time. And I have prayed for that family. My prayer, Lord, send good things into the life of this family. Now, I'm thinking of Elijah, who has stayed with this widow woman for over 2 years. And suddenly, the son, who at the first was about to die, she and he were going to eat a little bit of meal made into a cake, and then they were going to die. By God's goodness, they both lived for over 2 years, but now something happens that is so strange. This son that his mother loves, and she is a widow woman, she can have no more. And for that reason, the child grows sick, and the child dies. His spirit is gone. His soul is gone. And then this woman starts thinking. From the very first time that she saw Elijah, she started evaluating the man. She spoke about the Lord, your God. And then she develops further and speaks about the Lord, using it with her own lips as her God. And then at the last, what is so remarkable, she says, now I know all about this Lord that you've told me. I know that he is God indeed, and that the words that you speak from him are words of truth. Now, this is the first thing I want to bring to your attention. When I lived in the home of both families for 1 or 2 months at a time, I wonder if it were possible that they saw Christ in me. Here is this prophet, Elijah, and she knows he's a man of God from the first. She watches him for over 2 years, and she still sees that he's a man of God. But then what happens is this. Her son gets sick and dies, and she starts reasoning. She said, I am a sinful person, and what has happened is this. Before this holy man of God came into my home, all was well. But now that he's come, O God, you've had your eye upon my dwelling, and you thought about me and my sins, and because of my past sins, you have slain my son. And she goes and appeals to Elijah and tells him the situation. And Elijah, and this is what is so remarkable, for the first time to my knowledge, a man has thought about raising the dead. There was one, we are told in Hebrews 11, thought about it earlier, but it was not done. When Abraham was to offer Isaac upon the altar, it says, how can this be? This is my son in whom are all the promises. If I offer him as a sacrifice to God, how shall these promises come? And it says that in the mind of Abraham, it says he accounted God able to raise him from the dead. So at least the thought of resurrection entered the mind of Abraham. But now, think of the profundity of this thought of Elijah when the son has died and he is prepared to do something about it. I've had this same thing happen. In the home of those with whom I stayed, their child has died. And then I would do everything in my power to comfort them, to console them. I took the funeral and spoke words that I could, but it never entered my mind to try to raise that child from the dead. And it had never entered in the mind of any other prophet, to my knowledge, up till now, to be able to raise from the dead. And when Elijah prays, he speaks of the contradiction that is going on. He says, O Lord, he says, this woman in whose home I've stayed, who has cared for me all these years, will you also slay her son? And then, having cried to God once, he cries to God again. And it says, he lays himself three times upon the child. He's taken the child from downstairs up into his own chamber, laid the child upon his bed, and he lays upon the child. He lies upon the child three times. And then he cries to God again. And he says, oh God, let this child's soul come into him again. And that's all he says. And it says that the Lord heard that prayer and answered it, and the soul of the child came into him again. And then the child that was taken up dead to the bed of Elijah is now taken down alive and given to the mother. And this is what he said, see, thy son liveth. Now, this is what is so remarkable. No prophet has ever raised anybody from the dead. And once Elijah has done it, he simply says, see, thy child liveth. Think now of those 70 that God empowered to perform the miraculous. They went forth and they cast out demons. And when they came back to the Savior, they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. You see, they are thinking about it, rejoicing. They say, what power we have. And then the Lord says, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. But think, someone who is able to raise the dead, such as Elijah, and all he says, for the first time in the history of the world, to my knowledge, that one has been raised from the dead. He simply says, see, thy son liveth. This is one of the good points of Elijah. At times he has an overblown opinion of himself. But here, the most remarkable thing that has ever been done has been done, and he simply gives the child to his mother as if it were what was to be expected, and said, see, thy son liveth. Now, here is one who has lived in integrity before this woman, and he has shown himself a miracle worker through God in a twofold way. She had a little cruse of oil and a handful of meal, and God maintained the amount of that meal for over 2 years, and this rejoiced. But now God has performed a greater miracle, and this is what she says, I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of truth is in thy mouth. This is a remarkable thing. She has looked at this man, and she sees that his power is true. His words are true. This man comes from God, and he has not empty words, but he lives the life of God, and he speaks with the power of God. And this is the conviction that she has from this man living with her for 2 years. When you are in the presence of the people of God, what opinion do they have of you? I've seen some that have a great reputation, but I've drawn near to them and they have come and lived with me, and I've shaken my head and seen a contradiction. That is what is so sad. I say this man has a reputation that he's alive, but he's dead. But in this case, here is a man who is God's prophet, and this man is alive indeed. Now, I want you to see a contrast as to how Elijah raised the dead and how the Lord Jesus himself went about raising the dead. For this reason, here is Elijah confronted with a task that has never been accomplished before. And it says, he cried unto the Lord and told him the situation. And then he cried unto the Lord again. And he lies upon this child three times, and then he prays that prayer to God. Think of the pressure that's on him. Think of the intensity when he's crying unto God, crying unto God. Now, let me tell you of the Savior. In Luke chapter 7, there was a widow woman, and she has an only son, and he is upon a stretcher being carried to the graveyard for burial. And the Lord Jesus walks up and stops the barriers of that, but anyway, he stops them, and then he says to the young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up, and he began to speak. And it says, the Lord Jesus gave him back to his mother. Here he is dead upon the bier. But the Lord Jesus, notice, with the greatest simplicity, with no effort, simply says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And in this instance, no contact at all. Think of Jairus' daughter. The Lord Jesus is come to help Jairus. But when he gets there, his servants say, trouble the master no more. The child is dead. And the Lord Jesus said, fear not, only believe. And so when he went in and saw all those that were there, mourning and comforting, he said, weep not, the child is not dead, but sleepeth. That is what he knew as to his power. And they laughed him to scorn. And he took in the parents, and Peter and James and John, and he went over, and it says, he took this little girl who was 12 years old by the hand, and he said, Talitha Kumi, which words mean, little lamb, arise. And she sat up, and the child is alive, and that is all that the Lord Jesus did, except give instructions, give her something to eat. The mighty spiritual power, but now she is dependent upon earthly, material things as well. But look at the simplicity. No doubt that Christ is able to raise this child, and he simply says, little lamb, arise. Now, what is so remarkable is that I have seen, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament, how miracles were performed even by our Savior. When Elijah was trying to raise the widow's son from the dead, he cried unto God. He cried unto God. Now, we learn something for the first time in John chapter 11 that our Savior did the same thing. When he went and was going to do for Martha what she asked, she had said, Lord, I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, he will do it for you. And yet she did not believe that. And yet she knew that he could. And so the Lord Jesus, when this happened, he simply went to where Lazarus lay. And with a loud voice he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You say, but you were saying something about prayer. Yes, because before the Lord Jesus called Lazarus from the dead, he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me. You understand what the Savior has said? He said, I prayed to you. Nobody heard him. Nobody saw him. But he said, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. And then he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. But just as in the Old Testament, when Elijah and Elisha are trying to raise the dead, they pray. And God, in response to their prayers, raises the dead. It was so with the Lord Jesus. One other explanation that is essential. Why would Elijah lie upon this child three times? Is he trying to take the heat of his body and impart it into the child? No. He's doing the same thing that was done in the New Testament. In the case of the Lord Jesus, it was unnecessary. But the Lord Jesus was aware of this. It says over and over and over again that the power of the Lord was with our Savior to heal. He said the power of the Lord was in him. And when that woman with an issue of blood came behind and touched his garment, he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Why, you're being thronged and you're asking, who touched you?" The Lord Jesus said, "I perceive that power has gone out of me." That power is in the person of those filled with the Spirit of God. And those that have that Spirit of God, that have been given the gift of the miraculous, as you read in 1 Corinthians 12, that is the power that God uses to accomplish the things that they pray for. It was so with the Lord Jesus, and it is so with the apostles, it is so with Elijah as well. When Paul and Peter healed and raised from the dead, it says this, that God wrought special miracles and handkerchiefs and aprons that had been on the body of the Apostle Paul. They could be sent out to those that were sick, and they were healed. And so it says this, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And it is by this Spirit that these apostles in the Old Testament, these prophets in the Old Testament, were able to impart to others the power that was in them. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so it is God who worketh in you. This is what he wants them to know. And this is why I'm smiling when I see the power that was in Elijah, a prophet without any superior, the power that was in him. It says concerning the Lord Jesus, "God giveth not the Spirit in measure unto him." But I'm thinking of Elijah and all the power that's in him. He lets it go forth from him one time, two times, three times, and then all the power he has is gone. And he says, "Now, Lord, let this child's soul come into him again." And God answers that prayer. And I want you to remember this, that our Savior, with or without contact to those that were sick, to those that were dead, had that power that went forth from God. And he had prayed unto the Lord, and God answered that prayer. Which reminds me of this. Do you realize, if I ask you this, in the few chapters that cover the life of Elijah, what brother would take a guess of how many prayers we have recorded? No less than six. And all of these prayers are answered except one. And in the will of God, we'll consider that next week. And so Elijah was not only one who could do great things by the power of God, but he was a man of prayer. I'm thinking you'll find in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah certain dignitaries that God uses as examples. And God says concerning two, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, praying, interceding, my mind would not be toward this people." And so here is Elijah, who no less than six times is praying to God, and five of those six prayers are answered. And if God wanted to add one more, he could have said, "If Moses and Samuel and Elijah stood before me, yet my mind would not be toward this people." So here is Elijah, and he is a man of prayer. And understand, at times, his prayers are gentle and his prayers are quiet. But at times, his prayers are intense. It says when he raised his child from the dead, he cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. But when he is beseeching God to send down fire from heaven, it says simply, that Elijah came near and he said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And he said it quietly, but he said it with full conviction. And as soon as he finished that word, without saying amen, it says, the fire of God fell, and it consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones of the altar and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And this was God's answer to Elijah's prayer. Notice how simple this prayer is. Notice how intense the prayer was when he was raising from the dead. But notice again how intense his prayer is when he is going to pray for what God has promised come to pass. God said to Elijah, he said, it's going to rain. Therefore, go and show yourself to King Ahab. And he tells Ahab, it's going to rain. He said, I hear the sound of rain. And as soon as he tells Ahab that, he goes to the top of the mountain and he starts praying. But it says he prostrates himself and puts his head between his knees and he starts praying to God. And he prays 7 times, each time he prays. And only at the 7th time does the answer appear on the horizon. And his servant comes back and he says, well, you prayed, but all I see is a little cloud up there about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, that is enough. He said, now go and tell Ahab to get in his chariot and flee for his life, because if this rain comes down, it will turn the roads into muddy ruts and he will never get through. And now, the miraculous power of God. I've told you about the power that sent forth fire from heaven. But, trying to estimate, as I have, how far it was from Mount Carmel to Jezreel, you do not know exactly where Elijah was on Mount Carmel. But, we can estimate it at some 26 miles. And you say, 26 miles, you say, why, that is about the distance of the marathon. Yes. And it says that the hand of God was upon Elijah, and Ahab in his chariot is rushing to Jezreel. And it said that after God laid his hand upon Elijah, Elijah was empowered, and he outran Ahab and got to Jezreel at the first. Now think of that when the king comes up and he sees Elijah standing there. You see the power of God, the God of life and the God of power, who can do things from heaven and who can do things also on earth in the bodies of men. I told you this, and so beware. Indeed, God fed Elijah by the ravens. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the afternoon. But I am thankful that someone has invited me to their home today, because I do not know many that had been fed by the ravens. But I want you to understand that God in the past has demonstrated who he is and what he is and what he is able to do. And also I would commend Elijah again for the prayer that he prays. There are some who pray and pray and pray, and it seems as if they will never finish. But here is this prayer of Elijah, and it is thought out, and he lays before God exactly what he wants. He says, I want you to make known that you, Jehovah, are God in Israel. These people are saying, it is Baal who is God in Israel. I want you to let them know that you are God in Israel. And Lord, I want you to let them know that I am your servant. Some hate me. They think I'm false. And I want you to let them know that I have done all these things at your word. this famine, this drought that has been over the land for 3.5 years. It was not of me, Lord. You are the one who told me to do this. I've done all these things at thy word. He said, and one other thing I want you to do. The people were limping between two opinions. Is Baal God or is Jehovah God? He said, I want you to turn their heart today and to show them that Jehovah is God, not Baal is God, but Jehovah is God. And you remember this when you're looking at all the false religions of the world that speak about their God. Unless the God that we serve is the God and Father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is not God at all. He is some other God. And Elijah said, I want you to let them know that Jehovah, you are God. And think of everything that he had covered so succinctly, so simply, so humbly. And as soon as he said it, the power of God fell from heaven. He demonstrated it by fire. And the people who kept their mouths shut when he said, if Jehovah is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And it said the people answered him not a word. But when Elijah prayed and the fire of God fell from heaven, it said the people fell on their faces and they said, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. And therefore, Elijah's prayer was answered. And this, the man concerning these 400 prophets of Baal, he said, stop them, capture them, bring them down to the brook Kishon. I'm going to kill them all. You say, why is this? Because they had lied to the people. They had deceived the people. They had led the people astray. And God had said in Deuteronomy 13 and 17 and 18 that these false prophets were to be stoned. But instead, Elijah goes down and has them slain with the sword. And so here is a man of courage, and here is a man who knows how to exterminate Baal worship in Israel. Suppose he had done this and the people said, Jehovah, he is God, but there's still 450 false prophets preaching Baal up and down the land. How soon would they return? But he has them all slain. And how many preachers of Baal exist then? None. And so this is a study today about the God of life and the God of power. And he is our God who shall give us life as he has through Christ and who will manifest his power in us. And let us fall upon our faces and say, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so thankful that we have a conviction that we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us an understanding. We know who God is. We're not deceived, Father, by all of these modern gods, those that would equate you, our Father, with their gods. We understand that they're false. The demons, they worship demons and they're nothing, but at the same time you say they worship demons that are representative of God. And so we pray that thou shalt cause us to know who is God. Let this conviction be in our hearts, and let us know that you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our Savior is God manifest in the flesh. Turn our hearts toward thee with understanding, and let us never turn back again. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen. Meeting is over.